Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 13th of May, a new report warns that essential supplies in Gaza are nearly depleted. A Caritas official in the Democratic Republic of Congo stresses prioritizing environmental laws following devastating floods in the country. But first, the General Secretariat of the Synod sends Pope Leo XIV a letter expressing its joy at continuing to walk together. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. In a letter addressed to the new pope, the General Secretariat of the Synod says it looks with confidence to the directions Pope Leo XIV will provide to help the church grow as a home and a family of God open to all. For more, Christopher Wells reports.
The General Secretariat of the Synod has expressed its joy at walking together with the newly elected Pope Leo XIV in support of his service to the communion of all the churches. In a letter addressed to Pope Leo as Most Blessed Father, the Secretariat recalls that the Synod is an ecclesial journey led by the Holy Spirit, the gift of the risen Lord, who helps us grow as a missionary church. Already, the letter notes, the indications contained in the final document of last year's General Assembly can be implemented in the local churches and groupings of churches, with due regard for different contexts, as well as for what has already been done and what remains to be done, so that the style proper to the missionary synodal church can be ever better learned and developed. The Secretariat also points to the work of the study groups established by Pope Francis, which will be submitted to Pope Leo XIV, who will make determinations that will involve the whole church. Now that the synodal journey continues under Your Holiness's guidance, the letter concludes, we look with confidence to the directions you will indicate to help the church grow as a community attentive to listening, close to each person, capable of authentic and welcoming relationships, a home and family of God open to all, a missionary synodal church. I'm Christopher Wells.
Meanwhile, the Jubilee of Eastern Churches is underway in the Vatican, with several divine liturgies having already taken place in the different rites. Ahead of the Wednesday morning encounter of the Jubilee participants with Pope Leo XIV, the prefect of the Dicastery for Eastern Churches, Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, has recalled how many of them have given witness to the faith, even to the point of martyrdom. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports.
The Jubilee of Eastern Churches is underway in the Vatican, with the churches celebrating divine liturgies. With Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, the prefect of the Dicastery for Eastern Churches, present, as the patriarchs are presiding over the liturgies and offering words, praying for peace and for our new pope, Pope Leo XIV. The faithful and the hierarchy of the Eastern Catholic Churches were invited to a series of divine liturgies taking place from the 12th to the 14th of May. On Monday, a liturgy in the Ethiopian Rite was celebrated at 8:30 a.m. in St. Peter's Basilica, led by the churches of Ethiopia and Eritrea. And at 1 p.m., the Armenian Church celebrated the divine liturgy in the Armenian Rite at the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Then at 3 p.m. in the same basilica, a Coptic liturgy was held. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, celebrations returned to St. Peter's at 1 p.m. with the divine liturgy in the East Syriac Rite. The celebration will be led by the Chaldean and Syro-Malabar churches, with more events organized by the Syriac Catholic Church, the Maronite Church, and the Syro-Malankara Church in the evening. Cardinal Guggerotti praised the witness of these churches in his remarks as he attended the various liturgies. At the divine liturgy of the Coptic Rite, he highlighted the martyrdom suffered by the Copts and by other Catholics of Eastern Rites. "You are very experienced in martyrdom," Cardinal Guggerotti said. Meanwhile, for the liturgy of the Armenian Catholic Church, he welcomed them with the embrace of Pope Leo and also recalled that Pope Francis had declared St. Gregory of Narik a doctor of the Church. The prefect also recalled the date of the 24th of April, calling it a day of painful memory for the Armenian people, urging them to remain united. He said, "You are so close to the cross of the Lord, with whom you have shared a series of sufferings," as he went on to describe the Armenian Church as a unique pearl within Catholicism. On Wednesday, Pope Leo will meet with those participating in this jubilee. I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
more than 100 people are dead, 50 others are missing, and at least 28 people are injured following heavy flooding in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Torrential rains caused the Kasaba River to overflow and wash away several villages surrounding Lake Tanganyika. A regional administrator confirmed that the majority of victims were children and the elderly, describing the effects of the water as enormous material damage. As Claudia Torres reports, a Caritas director in the country urged the country's officials to prioritize environmental laws.
The director of communications for Caritas Butembo Beni, Elim Bulagedi, stressed the devastating impact the floods have had on the communities in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. In addition to several infrastructures being destroyed, the floodwaters also overwhelmed the nearby city. As a humanitarian consequence, the director said, several sanitary infrastructures have been destroyed by the water. He stated that some 2,000 households have been left without shelter and do not have houses to live in. Flooding extended into parts of the South Kivu province, where telephone lines have been destroyed and services are lacking due to the waters restricting rescue operations. This was not the first natural disaster to impact the after last year. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs reported that floods impacted millions of people across West and Central Africa last year. In the Democratic Republic of Congo alone, 1.2 million people suffered the effects of severe flooding. The director of communications for Caritas Butembo Beni argued that part of the problem DRC has in alleviating the impact of natural disasters is a failure to implement existing legislation. He encouraged the country's authorities to actively engage in responsible urban planning to prevent disasters such as the flood in the future. The director stressed that prioritizing sustainable development and enforcing proper zoning laws will help mitigate future risks. I'm Claudia Torres.
And in Cameroon, the Archbishop of Gourua has announced that a parish priest remains in captivity after he was kidnapped on May 7th. As Devin Watkins reports, bandits took the local priest, Father Valentin Mbarim, as he was traveling along a dangerous stretch of road last week.
In northern Cameroon, concern is mounting over the fate of Father Valentin Mbarim, who remains in the hands of his kidnappers. The news was confirmed by Archbishop Faustin Ambassa Njodo of Gourua. He told the Vatican's Fides news agency that the kidnappers have been intermittently contacting local residents to demand ransom for the priest's release. Father Mbarim is the parish priest of the Church of St. John the Baptist in Maidingring. He was abducted on May 7th while traveling along a stretch of road notorious for its danger. According to Archbishop Ambassa Njodo, kidnappings have frequently occurred in this area to extort travelers. He noted, however, that this is the first time a priest has been targeted in the area. Northern Cameroon has long struggled with a wave of abductions. Just days before Father Mbarim's kidnapping, local reports indicated that several teachers were also taken hostage along the same road. In response, local authorities launched a search operation in the region. Their efforts have already led to the release of another hostage who had been abducted on May 10th in a village near Gourua. As a gesture of spiritual solidarity, Archbishop Ambassa Njodo called on all parishes in the Archdiocese of Gourua to dedicate a special prayer for Father Mbarim during Mass this past Sunday. He also entrusted the priest's safety to the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and expressed hope for his swift release. I'm Devin Watkins.
Suspected insurgents killed five Nigerian soldiers in assaults on two army bases in northeastern Borno State early on Tuesday. Security forces and a district official said less than 24 hours after another deadly attack on troops in the region. Nigeria, which has grappled with an Islamic insurgency for over 15 years, has this year witnessed a surge in attacks by Boko Haram and its offshoot Islamic State West Africa province in Borno, the heartland of the militants. Two soldiers from the 24 Task Force Brigade in Borno's Dikwa district said militants flew to surveillance drones in the vicinity before attacking the brigade. And on the other side of the world, Australia's Liberal Party has for the first time chosen a woman as its leader, with Susan Ley to take over from Peter Dutton after he led the party to an election loss. Ley, from the moderate faction of the party, beat Angus Taylor by 4 votes. At the election on May 3rd, the Liberal National Coalition, currently Australia's main opposition party, suffered what many are calling the worst defeat in its history. Lei's appointment comes as Prime Minister Anthony Albanese was sworn in at the government house on Tuesday, following his Labour Party's landslide election win. According to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, Labour has won at least 93 seats, increasing their majority by 16. Lei has held the massive regional New South Wales seat of Farrer since 2001 and has served as a senior minister in a variety of portfolios, making her one of the Liberal Party's most experienced hands. And in Gaza, a new report warns that the essential supplies in the enclave are nearly depleted, with the entire population facing acute food insecurity. Nathan Morley reports.
In an interview with the BBC, Philippe Lazzarini, the Commissioner General of UNRWA, the UN agency that supports Palestinian refugees, said that he was running out of words to describe the misery and the tragedy affecting the people in Gaza.
Do you think Israel is using food aid, medical aid, humanitarian aid as a weapon of war?
I have absolutely no doubt, and this is what we have witnessed during these last 19 months, but especially during these last 2 months.
That's a war crime.
That will be qualified as a war crime.
In fact, this week, the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, said that it estimated that 1 in 5 people, or around 500,000, are at risk of starvation. Prices there have surged, with a 25-kilogram sack of wheat flour now costing between $235 and $520. That's a 3,000% increase since February. The IPC cautioned that the continued military operations and the blockade of humanitarian aid could severely limit access to survival essentials. The UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres has expressed alarm over the findings, highlighting the extreme hunger affecting children. The World Food Programme, the WFP and UNICEF both report worsening malnutrition since aid deliveries were halted on March the 2nd. The WFP chief, Cindy McCain, said families are starving whilst food remains stuck at the border, warning that if action is delayed until famine is officially declared, it will be too late for many people. Aid organisations report recently a huge drop in hot meal distribution. The UN says more than 60 of the 180 kitchens it supports have closed after using up their last remaining supplies. Humanitarians also report that adults are prioritising feeding their children over themselves when they do find something to eat. On top of all this, the UN says the Israeli proposal to deliver aid supplies through hubs, which are controlled by the military, would be a breach of core humanitarian principles of neutrality, impartiality and independence. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va and our Facebook, X, and Instagram accounts, where you can follow along with our new Pope, Leo XIV, during all his upcoming events as the 266th successor to St. Peter. Many thanks today go to the amazing Gabriele Di Domenico, our sound engineer in studio. And of course, a special thanks to all of you for listening, and be sure to join us again tomorrow at this same time for more stories. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.